Let me go ahead and ask God's blessing upon the word, because I want to keep a flow going once I read these verses, okay?
Please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting with these wonderful young men on the West Coast, especially to our northern sister up there in Canada. We pray your blessings upon this meeting, and I pray for the Holy Spirit guidance, not just teaching, but the guidance of the Lord in this brief message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is very fresh. This is not a sermon. I may build this sermon for my people if I get some points. I don't have points. I have a thought, okay? Just a major thought. But I'm going to read you what it says here in, first of all, Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And please make note of this, in heavenly places. Verse number 20. That's kind of a giveaway where we're going. And it said there, well, verse number 19 needs to be read first. And what is the exceeding greatness of his, Christ's power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And here it is, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So it just said a moment ago that we're seated in the heavenly places. Christ is at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. And then chapter 2 and verse number 6 reiterates, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then finally, chapter 3 and verse number 10, we see the same wording, similar wording, I should say, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So there is not just wisdom in what we just read, but manifold wisdom of God in the truth of who we are in Christ and where we are positionally. So that's often referred to as the Bible teachers as positional truth. Now, what we need to do, and people have asked before, holiness, and our seating with Christ in heavenly places, is that positional or is it practical? That's really a rhetorical question that doesn't need to be asked. Or I should say it's a moot point, because God's intention is for us, of course, to understand our position in Christ, heavenly places, but also understand that what goes on here is to affect here. In other words, if we have positional truth, then there should be the practical outliving of that truth. So we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have a life that is exemplary according to the world. It is not the natural man, and sometimes the natural man gets born again, and when he gets born again, there's the new man inside of him. And there's some argument about this, about the carnal mind, but I believe that the natural man is the lost man. The carnal mind is the saved man trying to act like a lost man. And so not to be carnally minded. So God intends for us to be not carnally minded, but Christ minded, the mind of Christ. Where's Christ? At the right hand of the Father. Where's Christ? He's visiting with us right now in the Holy Spirit in us right now. So we see that Christ is at the right hand of the Father. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And we're fighting the principalities. And that's what it was talking about there in chapter 3 and verse number 10. We're involved in principalities. Now, it went on to say in chapter 6 that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're in a battle. And the most interesting verse is given in the Psalm of Praise by Deborah, in Judges chapter 5, and this is a great word of praise. It says, they fought from heaven, the stars and their courses fought against Sisera. And of course, you remember Sisera, that's the one that received the splitting headache because of Deborah's friend, Jael, you know. So we see that there's a great word there. They fought from heaven, the stars and their courses fought against us. You know, Robert E. Lee said only three things, okay, Did I lose anybody? Okay, I hope I'm still here. Ben, can you guys still hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
well,
sir.
I'll just keep going when that
keep
screen
going.
Does funny things. And if you don't get me, just holler, okay? And just say, hey, where'd you go? But if you can't be heard, then okay, I'll just keep going. So only three times did Robert E. Lee say anything about the Battle of Gettysburg. That was the high watermark. That actually spelled the beginning of the end for the Confederacy. So he said, the stars in their courses fought against us. He was referring to God's will, and what was done in the heavenlies had now affected what was on the earth. And we see that when Moses was praying, you remember the story, he had his hands lifted. While the hands were lifted, they were winning. Down in the valley, Joshua and the army was winning in the valley. When his arms lowered, they were losing, until Aaron got on one side and Hur got on the other side, and they kept his hands lifted, and ultimately God literally moved heaven and earth and froze the day to make sure that that prayer got answered. The victory in the valley was determined by the prayer on the mountain. And so we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the Bible says in the great victory of Deborah against the forces of evil, and Barak was hanging around too. He just didn't have much to say except whatever you say, ma'am. But anyway, we see that they fought from heaven. Where is the battle being waged when we pray? If you think about it, we are dealing with heavenly principalities and powers. Now, the powers of darkness have fallen, but we look in the book of Job and we see that there is a meeting between the devil and the Lord, and he's talking back and forth. And we know that the devil was thrown out of heaven when he sinned. But then the weirdest thing is we go to the Revelation, we see there's war in heaven again. And a third of the angels fall again. They regroup and they fight one more time. So I don't know how that plays out in the church age, but here's what I'm convinced of. What goes on in heaven is what God wants to go on earth. There is no power of darkness. Lucifer himself never, ever wins in heaven. He didn't even win the argument against Job in heaven. He wins nothing in heaven, but God lets him have audience from time to time and does some battling on earth from the heavenly places. So what I think happens is, and the point that I'm trying to get to is that we're on earth, but the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the opening line was, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here it is, in earth as it is in heaven. So let the victory that we have in Jesus, the new man inside of me, that positionally speaking is in heavenly places. I mean, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, but there's no sin in that positional truth. There's a lot of sin that we deal with down here on earth. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So what happens when we pray, we are literally in prayer, and I'm saying this reverently because I don't want it to sound like we're manipulating God or the powers of the angels. But we're pulling heaven down to earth when we pray. When we pray, we are doing what Moses did when he lifted his hands, and what Deborah and Barak did when they fought from heaven. Somebody prayed the price. I'm convinced had Barak been closer to the Lord, he wouldn't have had to talk to the prophetess Deborah. So Deborah had this 800 toll-free number with God. She was Zooming with God every day, if you please. So when she got involved in the fight, it wasn't just Barak forces and Israel fighting against the wicked, but it was heaven that was fighting, and God was moving heaven and earth. So we see that for Joshua, the sun stood still. For Barak, we see that God did the sidereal connection of Pleiades or Orion. He did something in the heavens that was winning up there that caused us to be winning down here. Another case in point, Elisha. Elisha has got a servant that is nervous as can be. And the Lord, and then Elisha prayed, opened his eyes, and he saw the angels of heaven in battle. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. We're outnumbered down here, but not up there. I mean, they're winning up there. And he got great faith because he got the full picture. So a lot of times we don't realize this. When we're, I was thinking about this Sunday when we were having a great move of God. And as soon as the invitation opened and God was moving, the baby started crying really loud. Good night. Who pinched that baby? I'm not saying that the baby was pinched by the devil, but you ever been witnessing, and while you're witnessing, the phone rings, the dogs start barking, or the wife or the husband comes in and says, hey, wait a minute, we're going to be late for what? And all of a sudden, right at the point that they're ready to pray the sinner's prayer and ask the Lord to save them, havoc comes in. What is going on there? Or the sound system. Let me tell you something. We've a lot of times heard preachers say, I think the demons got in the sound system. Well, I'm not convinced that that didn't happen, you know, because we're wrestling against powers of the air. Electricity flies through the air. So I think that we need to realize that when we pray, we are beckoning heaven to do the winning, because God's always on that winning side. The old Celtics referred to when they found a place where they could pray through, and you don't hear that used much anymore, the phrase praying through. I heard the old timers say that a lot. Now listen, let's pray, gentlemen. Let's remember we need to pray through. Or I'm telling you, I was praying them up in the secret place this morning and finally prayed through. What is he talking about? When you're getting so close in your prayer to knowing the mind of Christ and being where you need to be in prayer, that heaven is so close to earth, you can't tell where heaven ends and earth begins, or where earth, you know, begins and heaven ends. And they called it the thin place. It's the thin place. And so one of my great goals is for Christ Church Baptist Fellowship is to live, and our men especially, to live in that thin place so that we can beckon heaven and talk to the Lord in such a way that God brings that winning factor in heaven to factor here on earth. I love that phrase. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against the serum. They fought from heaven. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so let us do the same thing, fight from heaven and pray the price and seek the Lord's face and never let go. And I think about New Year's resolutions. You got two types of people, those that believe in resolutions, those that don't believe in resolutions. I would be one that says, I believe in resolutions. And not only do I believe in New Year's resolutions, but I believe in February resolutions and March resolutions. And one reason we like to have the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday night of every month is to push the reset button and let's resolve again. Remember the song, I Have Resolved No Longer to Linger. So here's a good December the 2nd, the last month of the year, a December resolution. That ought to be a January resolution. That ought to be a January the second week and third week and fourth week resolution. And that is that we're through with prayerless days. We're through with prayerless days. How are we going to do that? Treat prayer like you would a bill. Treat prayer like you would a church service, okay? So when I was growing up, and the way it is still in my life now, when it's time for church on Sunday, when it's time for Sunday school on Sunday, when it's time for church on Sunday night, when it's time for Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, there were no options. No options. We didn't even try to argue. That would go nowhere. Matter of fact, if we're going to miss church at all, we've got to have visible representation. Not to make you sick, we better be puking and we better be having diarrhea, or we better have high temperature. Because if we're not throwing up and doing other things, brother, we're going to church. That's right. And I know that they had to watch out against the temperature. So treat it like that. Things will happen. Maybe some of you might have a sleepless night. You might not even get to sleep until 5 in the morning. And you've got a lot to do, and you were going to get up at 6 o'clock, but you just got to sleep an hour earlier, and you had permission from your wife to go to 8 o'clock. Well, whenever you get up, sometimes I used to say this to guys that work the night shift, the 7 to 11, or let's say the 11 to 7 in the morning. Or some guys would work and they would go to bed and their morning would be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would say, begin the day with God in prayer. If at all possible, find that secret place. Before you get into communion with man, do your best to get in communion with God. I have found that so many times that my interaction with people is not as effective as it should be because I didn't first have that interaction with God. I love the song that simply says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? So get into that secret place because you are already positionally in heavenly places. Now let's make it practical. Pray the price, get into that secret place, and fight from heaven. Not fight from earth, fight from heaven. Let the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a place where sin does not reign. Heaven is a place where victory is constant. So let that come down to earth. So how can we keep in the thin place? How can we keep praying the price? Number one, treat it like a bill. Treat it like a church service that you've got to find. You've got to find it. And if things happen, because things happen, sometimes people, I won't find out till late at night that somebody's got surgery and I have to be there at 5 in the morning, okay? Well, there's been many a time that I would come back from the hospital and I'd find a park, a city park, and an isolated place in that city park. And before I did anything else, before I drove back home, I got in that city park and began to walk with the Lord along the banks of the bayou. And I would pray and spend that time with God before I got into the presence of other people. So make an appointment to prayer and don't miss the appointment, okay? Another thing is, how can I keep praying? Keep praying even when you feel like you're going absolutely nowhere. That is what the devil is telling you. You are not getting anywhere. For instance, a moment ago, my screen went blank. I did not see you, but you heard me. And then when finally you started speaking, I heard you. In John chapter 6, it says, it was now dark and Jesus had not come to them. They were out there in the middle of the lake. They didn't see Jesus, but Jesus was on the mountaintop, saw them very clearly. Matter of fact, he was able to walk right out to them. It was now dark and Jesus did not come to them. There are times that I'm praying, gentlemen, and I wish it was not like this as often as it is, but there are times that it's now dark and I don't see Jesus in that prayer. So I would say, when you feel like you're not getting through, okay, stay with it. Now, I mentioned praying through. What they're saying is there's a point of ecstasy that comes. There are some times in prayer, I'll be honest with you, most times in prayer, I don't find the exit ecstasy. That might be once a week, once every 2 weeks. And when I say exit, it's ecstasy, I don't mean weirdness. I don't mean even necessarily breaking down crying, although many times I do break down and cry while I'm praying, and I feel that ecstatic moment, the presence of the Lord. But usually it's not that way. It's like it is right now. I'm talking to you. You're sitting there listening to me, and I'm talking to God. I don't see Jesus. I don't hear any audible voices. So I would say, pray on till you pray through, or pray on. And even if you feel like you haven't prayed through and it's time to get something else done, or now it's time to read your Bible, and your wife said your breakfast is getting cold, go get it breakfast. You don't have to say, well, honey, I got to stay here till I get goosebumps. I got to stay here till I cry a little bit. I got to stay here till I pray through. No, you don't. You just do your duty with God, because God's very sovereign when he comes and visits us in a moment of ecstasy. Okay. So number one, make an appointment. Don't break the appointment. Number two, don't quit even when you feel like you're not getting anywhere. And number three, don't try to help God answer the prayer that you're praying. Don't try to help God answer the prayer. I didn't realize this till years after I'd been really in a life of prayer. And that is, I would pray, let's say, for instance, Lord, I'm praying for John Doe. Lord, I have prayed for him now for what is 8 months to be saved. And Lord, I see no evidence. I don't even see any conviction. Lord, I want you to save him. I tell you what, we'll really be good, Lord. There's a guy named Fred Williams that is a born-again believer, and I would love to see, why don't you get Fred Williams to go talk to Jeff? And before I know it, I say, what am I doing? I'm asking God to save John Doe, and then in my worry, I'm trying to help God answer that prayer. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. We want to help God with the timing. Answer this right now. No. Hold it. He's God. You're not. Don't get pushy about time. He has made all things beautiful. He makes all things beautiful, he says, in his time, not my time. And then as far as you helping the Lord, see, when I'm saying to the Lord, here's what you might should do. Now, if God tells me to pray that John Williams will talk to, Fred Williams will talk to John Doe, then I'm going to obey the Lord. But many times what I'm battling against in helping God answer the prayer is not the fact that I'm trying to help as much as I'm worried sick. I'm worried sick that he's not going to answer that prayer. And I get worried about this thing. You see, worry is cold water on the fires of prayer. Worry is taking the sting out of the strength of answered prayer. We're thankful that he takes the sting of death out of our life when we die, but man alive, there's a power, and maybe the sting, word sting is not the right use. There's a power that we need to understand that God operates in, and our worry will, it'll tamp that down. You see, because worry is really the exercise of the absence of faith. Worry. And that's why God says dogmatically, be careful for nothing. Be anxious, worried, absolutely nothing. Don't you worry. Then he says, but. Now, he would have not put that B-U-T there if he didn't say, I'm going to give you something to do instead of. But in everything, by what? Prayer. And then supplication. And give God thanks for what he's doing. Amen. Romans 5. God was giving us the word that he gives praise for that which is not yet done, as though it were done. I'm paraphrasing. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then he says, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. I kind of butchered up my memory work there. But anyway, I like to add on. But anyway, one verse here, one verse there. But anyway, so what he says is, give it to God in prayer. Don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious. Don't be careful, full of care about it. And you will find that there's a peace that comes in that kind of praying. So, gentlemen, fight from heaven with God in your prayer time. And I love you all. And that's it.
Thank you so much, Brother Pope. Very helpful. A lot to meditate on and think about. I really appreciate your coming on here today.
My honor.
Would you mind praying again one more time for us?